This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning. My name is Ayo Shote. I'm standing in for Brother Benga for GSW this morning on 30 Minutes with GSW. And this morning, for the next 30 minutes, I want to discuss something that I've seen for years now that I believe tends to create a situation for us as Christians where we do not fulfill the best that the Lord has written concerning us. And I'm speaking to parents, I'm speaking to sons and daughters, I'm speaking to children on this call this morning. Now, I'm a dad of two young adults and one about to be adult. I say about to because she's 18. And if I hear anybody call me daddy, I'm going to get into trouble. I'm not daddy, I'm BBOG. And some days ago, I was going somewhere with my two daughters. My first daughter, she's 22. My second daughter is 18. And my second daughter said something that got me thinking. And then she said, when I'm done with my university, I am going to join the Firefighters Academy. And I've learned when they say things they want to do, I have learned not to talk, rather to listen. And the reason for that is I discovered over the years that when I jump in when they are talking, most of the time, what I'm doing is that I'm projecting on them what I am thinking, what my concerns are, or what I think. And for most of them, what happens then is they feel you're not listening to them, and they will shut you out. And you start to see that from teenage years. Some, you start to see it from their 9, 10s. They will basically push back. So I kept quiet, and I continued to listen. And then she said, the reason why I have decided that is I've noticed, her exact words, that, you know, as human beings, our life on earth is limited. I mean, even if we live up to 90, the time that we have to do some of the things that we desire to do is so short that if we don't do it, we can then get into our old age and start to regret. And that is why I said, I want to go to Firefighters Academy when I'm done with my first degree. And she said, yes, I know that it is going to be physically demanding. So when I get into university, I'm going to change several things about myself, my diet. I'm going to exercise more so I can be fit by that time. And that got me thinking. It hit me hard. And the reason it hit me hard is I thought back to my own youth. And I didn't realize that there were a lot of things I wanted to do in my youth that I never got to do. Why? Because every time I opened my mouth and I told my parents, I would like to do this, they will shut it down. And then I started to think further, and I didn't realize that most of the time when parents do that, they do that because, one, they are looking at the world through their own lens, through their own eyes, and not through the eyes of their children. And which is a fatal flaw. It's a fatal flaw because the generation you grew up in, the technology that was available when you grew up, the risks, the benefits, the rewards that were available to you when you were growing up is totally different. So what has affected or what has molded you as a person is totally different from what has molded them. But a lot of times we then attempt to see the world, their world, through our own eyes, using the inputs that we had when we were growing up, and then we'll not start trying to mold them and redirect them and refocus them because we think we have an idea of how they should live their lives. Let me use another example. By the time I moved to the UK, my children were young. My son, who is 25 now, was 9, and the one that is 18 was 2. And I know, and because we're all born in Nigeria, because they, you know, those initial years they spent in Nigeria, I know the amount of discipline that they were exposed to. And when I mean discipline, it's just a very nice word to say flogging. And then when we got to the UK, I started to look at them. And my wife and I made several decisions. And one of them was, okay, they're going to do a lot more housework now because, of course, we don't have the luxury of getting housemates and we don't have family with us. But we also then realized that we needed to start having more conversations with them because, one, the culture will not allow you to beat as much as you beat in Africa. And number two, you needed to be able to connect with them because now we're a closer family unit because there are no outsiders. And one of the things I then discovered in that process was they opened up more. Our conversations were better. I understood who they were as a person. I could relate with some of their struggles. And it became easy for me to sit with them and coach them rather than direct them. A lot of times, parenting is coaching. It's not directing. We tend to direct rather than coach. And then I went back to the scriptures and I was looking at the life of Joseph in the scriptures. And when you look at Joseph in the scriptures, God already determined what Joseph would be. You know, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 10 or something, said that all the things about me are already written in the volume of the books. There is no born again child of God that does not have a purpose. And most of the time, the purpose was there even before you were born. But that purpose then becomes, you know, evident to you or more important when you come into Christ. There are also unbelievers that have a purpose. If you look at the Dangote, for example, and you look at what he's trying to achieve, that's his purpose. It was supposed to come and create that in Nigeria at this time, and it's fulfilling his purpose. Then when you then look at the children of God, when you look at those of us in Christendom, we tend not to grow to that level. Why? Because we live this life that has been molded for us, that has been painted for us by those that came before us, and more often than not, is a life that is painted with the brush strokes of fear. We are so afraid to fail that we project that on those around us, those that we're bringing up. Now, I'm talking about biological children, but what about your spiritual children? What about those people that God brings around you so that you can mold and nurture and develop and send out into the world? And that was exactly what Joseph experienced. God had already shown Joseph in fulfillment of his promise to Abraham earlier in the book of Genesis that something was coming in the future that will elevate Joseph to a height that the entire world will know who he was. And that was, for me, that's interpretation of the dream of the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. Now, Joseph did not understand what the dream was. His brothers did not understand what the dream was. His father did not understand what the dream was. Yes, you can see that Joseph was a brat, and he talked about he boasted about the dream that God showed him, and maybe that was why his brother sold him into exile. But do you realize that the people that actually were trying to stop Joseph from fulfilling his purpose that God had already revealed to him were actually Jacob and Reuben? Jacob kept him close because, of course, he was the first son of his favorite wife, of the only love of his life, because he never loved all the other women. And then by the time Joseph was moved, I believe Joseph was moved by God to send him out. Because when you look at the household of Joseph, at that time, I mean, he was not only himself and his immediate family. He had servants. He had cattle. So obviously he had servants he could send anywhere. Why did he send only Joseph? Why was it Joseph that he sent to go and look for his brothers? And when those ones saw him coming, they said, "That's a dream, we're going to kill him." And it was Reuben that said, "Don't kill him. Rather, throw him into this well." And the Bible said that it was because Reuben wanted to save him and send him back to his father. Why? Because as far as Reuben and Jacob were concerned, that was his comfort zone. That is his place of safety. But you see, the place of purpose is in a totally opposite direction. So as parents, we tend, and I'm talking to Christians on this call, so I want you to listen to me carefully. We tend not to work partner with the Holy Spirit when it comes to relating with our children. We want to mold their lives. We want to decide the career they are going to go for. We want to tell them the way they need to live their lives. I'm not saying that you should not, you know, provide some context. You should not coach. You should not mentor. You should not direct. But I'm saying Do not take your own dreams and project on your children. That's one I'm saying. Do not take your own fears and project on your children. Three, do not use your children as a source of competition with your contemporaries, because we do it. Oh, my friend's son did a master, so my son must do a master. Yes, a master's is fantastic. But the question is this: have you sat down with that boy to say, listen, I know you're about to finish your first degree. What are your plans about your master's? What do you like to do as a master's degree? When will you like to do it? What kind of support do you want from me? You know, we crack a joke and we laugh and we say, child is always a child with the parents. Yes, I know that. But sometimes that particular relationship, when a child is 50 or even 40 or 30 or 20-something, and that mother or that father are still behaving as if that child is a 9-year-old, it is stifling. It stops their development. It stops them from being independent. It stops them from thinking. It stops them from going out into the world and taking the world for Jesus. You know, the Bible says that the creation is groaning and waiting earnestly for the manifestation of the sons of God. Our children are sons of God also. Are we allowing them to manifest? Are we allowing them to grow? Are we allowing them to step out into that world and take that world? Sometimes the Lord will not show you what he has in mind for them. He will keep it between himself and them, because in the presence of our Father, you are a son. They are also sons. Yes, they came to this world through you. They are experiencing this world through part of the experience you have created. But you see, you can baby them so much. You can become such an overbearing mother hen upon them. You can be such an overbearing father upon them that it actually affects their relationship with God the Father. And I've seen that many times in my counseling sessions. I've come across people, they just cannot connect to God. And by the time you dig in further, you see that their parents that were either mean or did not show them love or smothered them because they thought they were showing them love, when in actual fact, they were stifling their desire to express themselves. And then by the time they then come into their own, their relationship with God is painted in the image of what they went through with you. But thank God for Judah. Because Judah was the one that now saw the Ishmaelites coming, and Judah talked to his brother, listen, instead of killing this boy, because the others, apart from Reuben, still had the mind to kill him. It was Judah that said, instead of killing this boy and having his blood on our head, let us sell him into slavery. And of course, by the time they sold him into slavery, the Ishmaelites were going towards Egypt, and Egypt was where his purpose was going to be fulfilled. So it's very important for us, one, to recognize that as parents, we are unique from our children. They came from us. They have a physical DNA. In some cases, they have a spiritual DNA. But you must learn to sit with the Father. And as the Father, these children, what is your purpose for their lives? Holy Spirit, reveal to me what you have placed upon them as a gift. Where do you want them to operate? Where in Christendom do you want them to operate? And then you start to quietly have conversations with your children, expose them to experiences that will start to prepare them for that. Years ago, the Lord showed me, my children showed me, should I call it spiritual giftings, but he showed me the areas where they will all operate in Zion. He showed me. I understood it. So even when I'm praying for them, when I'm making declarations concerning them, I use that to make declarations. There is not one of them that I told the course they're supposed to read. Not one of them. But I made sure I listened to them. Because my first daughter, when she was going to read psychology, I said, go and ask them whether you can combine psychology with management. And she said, why? I said, because I encourage them to ask questions, to challenge me even. Sometimes in my heart, I feel as though this child is being rude, or is full of himself or herself. But I listen. And my wife listens. And when I explained to her, I said, listen, career-wise, if you decide to go in this direction, a combination of these two helps you in business. You can sit on board. You can work in an organization almost at any level. Because psychology helps you to study people, then the business management part helps you to bring business principles into whatever you do, even if you start your own business. And God, she listened. But imagine if I'd insisted that that was what she was going to do. At that age, she was a teenager who thinks that she knows more than me, who was not at that level, at that relationship with God, to even be able to go to God and complain. She would have rebelled and she would have said no, and maybe she would have gone in a totally different direction. And in those kind of situations, there's a tendency for them also to make wrong decisions. And I do agree. But you see, can two walk together except they agree? That's what the Bible says in the book of Amos. When you partner with the Holy Spirit concerning your children, your relationship with them gets better. The ability to fulfill that which God has placed in their heart as a purpose to fulfill become enhanced. I've said this, what I'm about to say, I've said it before. In 2006, I was in Port Harcourt, traveled, came back, and I was thanking God. Oh, Father, I give you praise and I worship you because you took care of my family, my wife and my children when I was away. And the Lord said, I had him ask me, who was taking care of them when you're around? Thank God I had that experience because he opened my eyes. And listen, I could be there and something's about to happen to them and there's nothing I can do about it. I could be in the same town with them and something will be happening somewhere else and I would not know about it. So I understood pretty quickly that, listen, God is in this with me. He wants them to succeed as much as I desire them to succeed. And he's as invested in their lives. He's even more invested in their lives than I am invested in their lives. Why? Because he was the one that molded them. Before they were formed in their mothers will be new then. And he appointed them as a prophet to the nations. Now, if you're on this call and you're at a situation where you realize that all of the things you want to achieve in life, you have not been able to achieve. Because you have experienced, you know, the scenario I have described. Or you are so focused on survival because you came from a place, you know, the amount of black tax that is meted on you. And I hope you understand what black tax means. Black tax is, you know, when you have to take care of members of your extended family and there's nobody else, and you have to keep taking care of them, and you do not have the ability to start to build your own wealth and start to build for the future. That's what black tax basically means. And and because of that, you have not been able to achieve what you know God has placed in your heart. Hope is not lost. Because just like we prayed during Dominion prayers, I think it was 2 days ago, we are recovering time. June is a month of time recovery. We are recovering time. You are recovering time. And that came very strong to me when I was praying this morning. And for some of you, at a point where you don't even have land, you don't even have a wherewithal to start. You're at that point where you don't even have money for the next meal. I'm much more building wealth, starting the process of building wealth, starting the process of becoming who God ordained you to be, starting the process of locating yourself where God has always wanted you to be. Some of you, the moment you get to where God wants you to be, it will seem as if everything just became so easy. Why? Because let me tell you, God wants to partner with you, but he has never wanted any single one of you to attempt to do things by yourself. You know, one of the few people that caught that vision was Abraham. When Abraham and 314 in his house went after the five kings that captured the kings of Sodom and other places where Lot was and defeated them, when he came back, the king of Sodom told him, take whatever you want from the spoils of war. Abraham said, I do not want anybody to say they made Abraham. He caught that vision. We tend to do this because there's a thin line between doing things ourselves and being, no, there's a thin line. How do I say this? There's a thin line between being lazy and thinking that we're waiting on God. Maybe that's what I need to say. So because of that, a lot of us now want to do everything ourselves. But most of the time when we start to do that, we don't realize that we're telling God, wait, let me do it myself. When I do it myself, then I will glorify you. God does not want that. Ay, kamaroshanta. He wants to be in it with you. He wants to partner with you. That's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus said he was going to pray the Father and he will send the Holy Spirit. Because he said, when he comes, he said, he will not leave you alone. You will not be on your own. Whew. I'm burning up here. He said, you will not be on your own. He will teach you all this, reveal all truth to you. He will reveal what myself and my Father says. The experiences that you will experience, it will be in it with you. It's the one that will open your eyes to see what you're supposed to do. It will teach you. The wisdom that you exhibit to the world will come from him, because it will open your eyes. It will teach you. It will grow from an epios to becoming a technon, to a heroes. So if you are here and you have experienced, you know, an overbearing relationship with your earthly parents, where you cannot seem to do anything without them trying to mold your life, today there's a total turnaround for you. You have been released from that invisible prison, and you have been launched out for the seed that you need as you placed in your hands. For the doors that needs to be opened has been opened unto you. For angels have been activated for you. And I can see them around you. Just like the Lord told us on Wednesday, speak, 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 speak. For there are many that the Lord has been waiting on to step into that place of purpose. And because the blueprint has been given from when they were young is to always wait until somebody prods them, they are not taking that initiative. And thank God Joseph got to Egypt. And you will know that Joseph was in the right place, because the moment he got to Potiphar's house, even before he got to Potiphar's house, that he was with slavers. And they went to a slave market. And he was an Hebrew. And Potiphar was able to buy, and just shows that God was directing him. Because what are the odds that he will end up in the house of the prime minister to Pharaoh? Because the dream God has shown him, the two dreams basically said that Joseph was going to be a ruler. That was the purpose of God for his life. And there's no way the skill set he was going to learn to become a leader and a ruler, he would have learned with his father, because his father was babying him. His father smothered him. His father did not allow him to understand what God has in mind for him. Because that second dream, the Bible says the father was pondering about it. So the father knew something was coming. And he attempted to stop the move of God in the life of Joseph. Why? Because he loves him. In actual fact, that was not love. When you smother your child, or you hold your child close to you because you love them, and they do not become what God has purposed for them to become, what you have basically done is that you have stunted their growth. You have turned them to a dwarf in the spirit. You have turned them to a dwarf among the committee of men. Unbelievers are supposed to look at your children and say, wow, the hand of God is upon this one. This one, by the time I start to relate to this one, my life will be better. I might even get to know God. Let me move close to this one. But that only comes when they are in that place that God, or where they have that journey to that place that God has ordained for them to be. The moment Joseph stepped into Potiphar's house, Bible says that God was with him. A small 17-year-old boy that was an Hebrew, that was not versed in the education of Egypt, became, and I don't know how many years it took, but I'm sure it did not take more than 2 or 3 years, became the head of Potiphar's servant household. What are the odds? It became one that Potiphar did not bother about how his home was run anymore. He left everything to Joseph. The only thing Joseph did not have a hand in is how Potiphar relates with his wife. Although Madame wanted to bring that into the picture, and thank God that Joseph understood God. By that time, he had built a relationship with God himself. He knew God for himself. Yes, maybe based on what the father told him, but he now knew God for himself. He had a one-on-one relationship. Let your children have a one-on-one relationship with the father. Introduce them to the father pretty early. One of the things I learned from God with my children was my conversations with them when they, even before they became teenagers, about God, was for them to see God as a loving father. We come back from church, if I know they've listened to this rubbish about, oh, as a Christian, if you sin, you will die. God hates sinners. God will punish you. I remove it from their head straight away. We sit down, we have a conversation. I open the scriptures and I show them and I tell them, God is the only place you can go to when you have sinned, because he's the only one that truly loves you, not to look at the sin, but to want to restore you. I might get angry as your father and want to punish you, but he will not. Thank God Joseph had that. By the time he got into prison, yes, he felt outdone by, which is normal, but his focus was still on God. He never lost sight of the fact that as a child of God, one that works with God, one that has a relationship with God, wherever I am, no matter how dark and bleak it is, I must be the light. That brought him in contact with the butler and the baker, and the rest is history. And Joseph became a ruler. The dream of God upon his life was fulfilled. Imagine the alternative. If Jacob had resisted that push by God to send him to go and look for his brothers, imagine the alternative. If Reuben had succeeded in coming back to get him and sending him back to his father, he would have put God's word, his promise to Abraham, that very soon your descendants will go to a strange land and will be there for four generations. But I will not forget them there. I will bring them back to this land that I promised to give you. Because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. He would have put the fulfillment of that word in jeopardy. But thank God there's an angel that always stands over God's word to make sure it comes to pass. The angel stepped in and the rest is history. I pray for you today as you prepare to go for your churches this morning. That which the Lord has said about your children, none of them will be truncated. All will come to pass in the name of Jesus. In this season of dominion, all our children will step into their place of dominion. The world must take note of our children. The world must take note of our children. I speak it forth that where we have children, no matter how old they are, that their journey towards purpose has been delayed or truncated. I remove such obstacles. I refocus and I repurpose them. I pray that the Holy Spirit will start to teach them that which they need to learn. And in some cases, they will receive accelerated instruction and they will experience accelerated learning. And the men and women that will teach them skills that they need to learn will start to come around them. And these children, these men and women, these boys and girls, will recognize that opportunity and they will take hold of it. Father, we give you praise and we worship you. Glory be unto your holy name. You are worthy to be praised, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have been blessed this morning, can you please unmute and shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teaching.